Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Tony, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you, buddy.
How are you doing, man?
I am well. How are you?
Fantastic. Can't complain, man. God is good.
All the time.
All the time, indeed. Now, we started this conversation last week, and we talked about the factors leading to absent fathers and single mother homes, as well as the impact on the children. Now, we continue this conversation today with the role men play in children's lives. Now, can one be unaware of the impact of their absent father that has had on them?
Of course, definitely. Because for the greater part, mostly because we live in a society that glorifies single motherhood, mm-hmm. you know, like people glorify the fact that, you know, women are raising kids by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes fashionable for women to do that by themselves. You know,
yeah.
It also the whole feminism agenda, like, you know, we're doing it by ourselves. We don't need any men, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And because it's slowly becoming the norm in society, it's very easy to ignore the impact of not having men around in kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yes, very possible that we can be ignorant about the effects of kids growing up without fathers.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, having said that, then Tony. You know, one may ask, I mean, having been raised, you know, by a single mother, well, I was raised by both parents, by God's providence. But someone may be raised by just one parent, maybe a single mother, and they may be asking, is there something particularly important about one's own biological father's presence? Will any older male influence really be sufficient? They will tell you that, well, my uncles were there. That is my brothers, their brothers, what? Their brothers, mother's brothers, rather. And they would tell you that there were other male figures who were father figures, as it were. So they then ask, what's then particularly important about one's own biological father's presence?
I am glad that, you know, you had the experience of growing up in a home where the mother and father are both present,
mm.
you know. That gave you the foundation you needed to be a father yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that wouldn't be the story if you had grown up without a father. Now, mm. with as much as they may be uncles and, you know, the other male figures in the family, but they're not in close proximity to,
mm.
You know, to the kids.
Mm.
Yes, sure, they hang out with them, you know, once in a while, maybe on weekends and or everything. But what a present father does to a child is that they help a child to model, to kind of start forming ideas,
mm-hmm.
on what it really means. Yeah, man. Let me give an example of, you know, for the boy child.
Right.
For the boy, because remember, a boy child is going to be a husband someday, correct?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If they're going to be a father at some point in the future, you know,
mm-hmm.
Whether they're going to be a present father or an absent father depends to a great extent on the kind of environment that they grow up in.
Mm.
So let's say, let's take a boy who grows up, you know, in the presence of a father who is present, you know, they get to learn what it's like to be a man, for example. What does a man who provides look like? What
mm-hmm.
does a man who protects look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does a man who treats a woman in the right way look like,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of these things are modeled through having a present father that you interact with on
mm-hmm.
a, you know,
mm-hmm.
day. And vice versa, you know, not growing up without a father, it leaves a void in a boy child's life because now there's no direct model. There's nobody who is mentoring you. There's nobody that you can look up to. There's nobody that you can see playing all these roles like provision, like mm. protection, like leadership, you know, like taking up that leadership role in the home. You know, this is something that you sort of like see in the peripherals, like through the uncles, but it's not really something that's there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's on the boy child side. And then on the girl child, you know, side, they get to shape their ideas of what a man looks like through their fathers. And I'm sure you've had this said.
Yeah.
No, a father is a girl child's first boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is true, because they get to learn how a man treats a woman through their fathers, you know. Now, if you remove that, you've left a huge void. And what you're going to do is you've created a problem in this little girl's life, in that they, what we as society call daddy issues, you know, young girls who want to date older men because they do not have an exact, they never received the acceptance, the validation, the kind of protection that they needed from their fathers. And they seek for it in the wrong places. And you then create that problem, you know. And I'm just mentioning some of the common problems here. There's like a whole list of things that we could talk about if we had the time. But today, I just wanted to zero in on these aspects, just so you know the kind of void that is created by not having a man in the house. I'm in a very peculiar situation in the sense that I'm raising a child who is now in university. Who just started university like a month ago. She, we're very, 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 very close. And I have tried by all means to provide and to give her the best of everything, because my reasoning has always been, you know, I do not want this child to get a taste of what a man, of how a man is supposed to treat her from the wrong places. So what I have done, I've made sure that, you know, we I take her out on dates. I buy her flowers. You know, I open doors for her. At least I try and provide the basic needs that a child is supposed to have, and a little bit of the luxuries there, but in moderation, right? And what I'm trying to do there is I'm trying to instill a sense of security. And I see how that is manifesting in her life, because as much as she grew up without a mother, I've tried to play the fatherly role to the best, you know, of my abilities, because she is a very stable child emotionally. I know there's certain aspects of parenting that I couldn't provide for her because her mother was not around for most of her life. I've tried to give her the things that she's supposed to get from a father.
Yeah, man, beautiful. Now, what do we say to ladies that for one reason or the other have decided, you know what, I truly don't want and don't need this man in my life. He has hurt me so deeply and so badly that I just don't want him to be involved in any manner. I'm just going to raise my children. I don't want to see him. If he pays for them, he must put in the money in the account. If he doesn't, well and good, I can handle it. And so they then say, I'm going to raise my children or my child all by myself. What's the situation there? I mean, because, you know, they are scared that they may be plunged, or even their children be plunged into continuous hurt and disappointment.
That's a very interesting question. And I'm going to answer it very carefully, because I don't want to come across like I'm suggesting things that I'm not suggesting. So, number one, just because the biological father to these children is not around, it doesn't mean that there can't be other father figures in your life that can play the same role and do them well. I'm assuming that, you know, when you get divorced or you break up from your boyfriend or whatever the situation is, at some point, not just for your sake, but also for the sake of the children, you're going to have to start dating again. Hopefully settle down again, if that's an option for you. I'll talk about the other alternatives if this is not a preference for, for a lot of people. You have to, when you start dating with that in mind, to say, I'm going to need not just a partner for myself, for my companionship, but also for the sake of the children. You know, I've been in relationships with people that I have dated in the past because I'm not married yet again. But I've been in situations where at the right time I was introduced to, you know, the children of the person that that I was dating. And you kind of start developing a relationship, and they you start to play that role that you are supposed to play, that a man is supposed to play in a child's life. There's conversations, especially if you're raising teenage kids, there are certain conversations that as a mother you may not be able to have with your sons, for example, you know, things like sexuality, just like certain life issues that you cannot have a conversation with male kind of kids. So you get to have those conversations because you are now in close proximity with them by virtue of you dating the mother. But the goal obviously is for you to end up getting married, and then it becomes a permanent situation where there's a blended family. But the idea really is just to have a male figure in the family. If this is not a preferable solution, then you've got to identify male figures within your circles, either as friends or as relatives, and assign these roles that I'm going to need you to spend X amount of time with these children for that influence, for that impartation to kind of take place. So it's really just identifying the people in your space and saying, listen, I'm going to need you to play this role in my child's life, whether it's a girl or it's a boy, it doesn't really matter. But is it something that you're able to take up? And if yes, then, you know, it has to be structured for this to be effective. There's got to be a commitment to say, we're going to spend X number of hours together in the week or in the month to make sure that, you know, we have ample time to connect and really find out and dig deep and connect for this to take effect. Because outside that, it may not work.
Yeah, not easy stuff. And let's close the conversation, Tony, on this question. Now, how can those guys, the men who deliberately abandon their children, be encouraged to be present and active in their children's lives? Surely we can't force anyone to have a relationship. So should we just say, well, he doesn't want to be involved, let's leave him? Or should we try by all means to say, hey, but listen, man, but this and this and the other?
This all comes down to the individual, right? Like, this really, because the most common story is that, you know, there's a woman there who's raising kids by herself, and there's this, they call them deadbeat fathers, who do not even financially support or emotionally support. Or in fact, I know some kids who have never even met their biological fathers, and the biological fathers are alive and probably live in the same city, but only God knows what circumstances lead to a man abandoning their children to that extent. If that is the situation, and this person has made a deliberate choice to be absent, then there's not much we can do. We can only play with the other options. For example, the ones that I just shared with you just now. Outside that, you can't really force anyone to be present. It's something that has to come from them. If they don't feel the need to be present in their children's life, then there's not much we can do, unfortunately. It's something that has to come. You can't go to court to force somebody to be present. A child's life, you know, they can. You can go to court, you know, to get financial support and all of that. But when it comes to the actual connecting with the kids, that's not something that we have control over. It's something that that an individual has to be willing to do.
You know, there's this very sensitive part on the women, and I've had many conversations with women with this. So the guy is absent, and has been requested and asked to be part of this children's lives, and they're just not interested. They're living their best lives, and everything is hunky dory on their lives. And while the mother is painstakingly raising these children and doing the best. And now they are finishing matric and they're going to varsity and they graduate from varsity. And the brother shows up and says, "That's my boy. That's what I'm talking about." And and he now is there full force because this boy takes after me. Yeah. Oh, man, this girl, this is daddy's girl. And I noticed that then the women at that point would then say, "No, not interested. Sorry, you're not going to be coming to the graduation. You are not invited. You're not coming to the wedding, etc." I mean, life is done already. This person is an adult. Still, there is a blockage of women who literally still want to make a decision that you cannot be part of our lives. What then?
It's such a sensitive issue.
It is.
Because I know it evokes a lot of hatred and resentment and bitterness in women, because I've also seen that happen where the brother was absent the whole entire time, only until up to the point where now they can claim ownership of this boy because they've done this much and they've achieved this, and now starting to do things. It's such an unfortunate situation, and unfortunately it continues to happen. And I guess this is, the onus is up to the mothers, to set the right boundaries, to say, I will not allow you to take advantage of the situation. And there's ways to do that without even, being dramatic about it. This is a conversation that needs to be had with the children, and also the conversation that needs to be had with, the brother involved. So I don't know if I have a recommendation in those situations, but the only thing that I can emphasize is the need for boundaries when it comes to these things, because it's really not fair that a woman can raise children by themselves and then all of a sudden, the father wants to claim all kinds of credit now that these children are doing well and most of the work has been done.
Does that posture though not favor the mother and does nothing to actually feed into the confidence and the love of the child? I mean, if the mother says, "No, sorry, you're not gonna," you've been missing here for the past 21 years and you're coming here, you want to take the glory. In fact, the child would be happy and excited to have the father here. I'm saying this because once they start working and they're out of the mother's house, literally a year or two after they're out, they go looking for their father still.
I hear you. And I guess it's something that is subject to conversation, right?
They're looking for their father. They want to have a relationship with their father, and the mother has blocked it all these years. So they believe.
Yeah, that's a tough one, my friend. That's a really difficult one. I guess in that case, it's really up to the children, because it's not fair on the mother, definitely, because the mother is the one who, was breaking her back to make sure that, these kids go to school and they eat and they have a place, to stay and all of that. And I guess that is the way the reconciliation conversation can happen. But it has to happen a way that is open. There has to be some kind of acknowledgement of, I always say that, an apology goes a long way, in facilitating healing. A conversation that shouldn't happen behind the mother's back. It's something that really needs to happen, with all the parties involved, with the father, with the kid, and the mother, to say, "Listen, you have to take responsibility for you not being around." And there's got to be some kind of reparation for that, you know. Other than that, you know, all there is bitterness and anger and hatred. So there's got to be a platform where people then sit down and say, listen, we need you to acknowledge the fact that you're absent. Take responsibility.
Yeah, but for now, while you are in the process of taking responsibility, let's allow you to be part of the child's life. Because what we want is the men to be a figurehead. Well, they're not in their lives, but at least belatedly even, at least to be there in those moments where the child is now achieving great things in life. It may be painful for the mother. It really may be, you know, inciting a lot of anger inside her. But I think that for the benefit of the child, you know, not about the mom, but this is now for the child who needs their father to be there to say, you know what, I'll let this slide. I'll deal with this guy on the side, but let this child have this father moment. It's all right. Wouldn't that be a better move?
A better move, yeah. There's got to be some reconciliation somewhere, because especially as Christians, you know, there's got to be restoration. But for restoration to fully happen, I'm just emphasizing the need for someone to take responsibility for what happened, or some kind of reparation to happen. And, you know, for because forgiveness is where, you know, healing begins to happen. But before we get to forgiveness, there's got to be the taking of responsibility somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sensitive indeed. Tony, it's always a pleasure, man, to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you so much, brother. We'll speak.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Cheers.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.